Can you talk about this crap?
The crap that's going on in Ontario, absolutely. Well, where should I start? I guess some immediate fallout stuff, or...
As you want. As you feel.
Sure.
As you are inspired by.
What I was inspired by, I mean, one of the great things that came out of the whole G20 organizing, the convergence, the mobilization, a lot of local groups built up capacity in their communities and, you know, took it to the street in Toronto, but have also continued building up momentum for social justice back at home after Toronto. So although there was a lot of, harassment of community organizers and intimidation attempts and attempts at silencing, it's turned out really good for the social justice movement as more and more people are getting on board. The crackdowns of the 26th happened on a day that was called Get Off the Fence, and a lot of people have gotten off the fence and have decided that they want to spend more of their time working towards social justice. Some have decided full on that they're just gonna go full time social justice, kind of quit school idea, and just work in their communities and build up some resilient small communities. Outside of that, obviously the capacity in Ontario has been taken down a little bit immediately following the G20 with all the arrests of some of the really key community members and really. Really long-term, dedicated social justice advocates were taken away from our communities, but, you know, there's been a lot of rallying behind the court support, behind the jail support, getting these people out of jail, making sure when they're out that they're still supported in their community, make sure that people know that they're still loved, that even though they might have been taken away from their community under house arrest or whatever, in Waterloo we had a lot of people taken outside of Waterloo under house arrest, but we're still thinking of them and we're still working towards the same goals that they were working towards before they were taken away, abducted from our communities and thrown under the violence of the police and justice systems.
How do people can work together without seeing each other?
Well, that's an interesting one. Some people actually aren't allowed to speak to other people. The state has imposed some rules against some of the organizers. Some of the folks that are under these conspiracy charges can't talk to other groups. Like, specifically, No One Is Illegal has been targeted. People can't speak to people in No One Is Illegal or direct action group I work with, AWOL. We were only present one day during the G20 Convergence, the Environment Day, but AWOL has been targeted as some extremist organization, which is interesting, and people are being stopped from speaking with us through conditions of their bail. You know, we now have to travel more. The people that we can still see, we make sure that we're going to their houses, you know, the ones under house arrest. People go to their houses, chat with these folks, and just, you know, some mutual support. I mean, a lot of the folks that are under house arrest aren't allowed to do any type of organizing. I mean, the ones that are allowed to actually leave their house if they have someone sign them out, some of them can't go to any type of public demonstration. Some can only go to legal demonstrations. Common one for all of the people that were arrested on the conspiracy charges, at least, is they're not allowed to organize anything whatsoever. So that's why I say the capacity has been taken away a bit, but has been filled in by this large vacuum of people. You know, it's really bottom-up stuff. People really, really rallying around the affected communities and rallying in their own communities to make sure that the quest or the battle or the day-to-day social justice work is still getting done.
Do you feel that encourage more people to fight or that discourage more?
Well, I think the goal of the policing actions during the G20 was to discourage people from any type of dissent. The criminalization of dissent was, it's so obvious what they were trying to do. And sure, some people were discouraged from being on the streets in the future. I have no doubt about that. People were discouraged from, you know, any type of organizing when they look at the horrendous and unjust charges that have been thrown on a lot of organizers and just people that were out in the streets, you know, community members, whatever. But I think it failed. It seems to be more like a hydra. They think they took away the head. The heads of these organizations, but like the mythical Hydra, it's just, you know, way more people are coming up now and just not allowing the travesty of justice. I mean, it's they're treating the justice system with total disrespect.
Yeah, like they expand also the fact that they don't want to allow people to organize themselves to speaking also.
Absolutely, yeah. Alex and Leah Henderson, as soon as they were granted bail, they went to the media and they started speaking out against, well, you know, why they were targeted. They're stepping back and saying, you know, they don't want the focus to be on them. They want to make sure that the discussion remains one based on social justice, based on, you know, why we were in the streets in Toronto. This unjust economic system, the treatment of Indigenous people in Turtle Island and across the world, these are the messages that still need to get out. And, you know, they tried to silence Alex, they tried to silence Leah by saying, oh, they're going to be thrown back in jail. And actually tomorrow is the appeal, the Crown's appeal to try to get them thrown back in jail. Also the appeal for Eric Lankin, who's been in jail since June 26th, being denied bail once. You know, Eric's a guy without any type of a violent criminal record. And they're treating this very politically and, you know, trying to really target effective community organizations and community organizers.
Why did they put so much focus on Eric Lankin, do you think?
You know, I don't really know. I know, like, Eric, he's a really good friend of mine. He's one of my roommates. My house has been pretty much emptied of roommates due to this G20 arrest spree that the cops went on. But they focused on Eric. He's been effective on so many different campaigns, you know, War Resisters, Site 41, some of the Six Nations Land Defense, and he's part of AWOL. I'm not sure if they were trying to set some sort of example with him. As I said, he has no violent criminal record. Was arrested before any of the things happened on the 26th that everyone's so enraged about. You know, the burning of the cop cars or the smashing of the windows or the police beating the crap out of peaceful protesters. He was already in jail by the time any of that stuff happened. So why they're focusing on him, it's a tough one, whether it's trying to set an example or they're just punishing him for the victories that he's been a part of. All of the victories he's been a part of, he wasn't charged or was charged and then had charges dropped. So I think it's either just a punishment, like a post-victory punishment for all these past victories, or they want to set some sort of example. I'm not 100% on that.
Do you feel that the fact that the state show his real face as the fascist mostly that they demonstrate in Toronto, that encouraged more people to resist to the state? It's a bit what Alex Under said to the simulator.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I know I've been spending a lot of time doing since the G20 is talking to friends and talking to family and making sure the message gets out that, you know, civil liberties and the rights that we have guaranteed under the Canadian Charter really mean nothing. And the state is willing to tell their forces, tell the cops, to step all over the charter, and at a moment's notice, at a single command, all of the police services are willing to do that. And I think that's one of the things we can look at. AWOL is continuing, you know, their tar sands campaign, and that's one that has been ongoing for years. AWOL is also working with the Kitchener-Waterloo Community Center for Social Justice to make sure that the lost capacity from that organization won't affect the day-to-day organizing. Also, kind of, we're ramping up our Culture of Fear campaign, which looks at police actions and looks at the normalization of military and the normalization of police in the streets and in the media and everywhere, and tries to counter that normalization. Other campaigns we're working on, some will be launching in the fall as kind of everyone gets back into town. We haven't been handcuffed or our capacity hasn't been decimated to a point that we can't continue our day-to-day campaigns. That's encouraging. And also, I guess, you know, we're working on the campaign to free our friends and get them out of jail and to fundraise for them.
What do you all say to people about that?
A lot of day-to-day organizing still going on to defend these people, get them out of jail, you know, get their bail conditions lessened because, you know, every time they go to jail, every time they go to try to change their bail conditions, it's another like $3,000 or whatever the lawyers are going to charge. And some of these conditions are absolutely ridiculous. So it's going to be a long-term effort, you know, to get our friends out and to make sure that the struggle continues. With that weird media campaign that the Toronto Police Services, you know, they went to the public, apparently got like thousands of pictures and have gone and arrested a bunch of people way after the G20 for alleged role. Another thing was last Friday, he was denied bail. He's being accused of a whole list of things to do with the 26th, and they base it all on some pictures. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have been charged with these firebombings or with anything. There's a lot of people, I guess, facing the state right now in the judicial system. I guess it's going to need long-term support over the next couple of years to make sure these people are treated fairly. Right now, they're not. They're being attacked in the media at all costs, it seems. The publication ban doesn't mean too much to the mainstream media because they can just pay off any fines that they need.
Yeah, so it's like an ongoing battle.
Yeah, absolutely. Ongoing battle, and I mean, it's just going to continue. We'll see if the criminalization of dissent continues, if they continue to try to take down community organizations, direct action groups. We'll see how they act as time continues on. See if they're more aggressive than they have been in the past to civil disobedience. Yeah, I mean, in Waterloo, we've been holding rallies and fundraisers in the streets for all our friends that were taken away and charged with all these types of crime, or all these charges of from the G20, stemming from the G20. And the police haven't changed their tone too much yet, but as the people's investigation in Toronto and the people's investigation in Kitchener really ramps up to see, you know, what the police were doing, we'll see if they change their tone and start going more aggressively at us in our communities outside of Toronto.
And also the defense continue also by continuing the struggles of the people who are in jail or accused in trials.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know if you want to add something.
I guess you know, it's just going to be a long battle, and we just got to make sure that the spotlight stays on the struggles. The people that have been charged, at least the ones I've talked to, they want to make sure that the struggle remains. Or the message stays on the struggle that they're involved in. Indigenous rights, anti-poverty, just community building, environmental ideals, anti-patriarchy, anti-capitalist. They want to make sure that the message stays on that stuff, not on their court cases. The policing and the criminalization of dissent is an important one to focus on as well. But yeah, we just got to make sure that our day-to-day struggles aren't impacted too much, that we're not focusing too much on the legal battles, because you know, that's what the state wants. They want to tie us up. They want to take away our capacity to build our communities, to build resiliency in our communities, to become self-sustainable or self-reliant or whatever your community is trying to do.
And you and your collective are making also a radio show. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. AWOL Radio. It's on our local campus community radio station, 100.3 CKMS. We've been doing it for about 2.5 years. We do podcasts on Ravel, but yeah, you can listen to our show. I mean, it's on Fridays, 4:00 to 6:30 p.m. or in the afternoon. Or yeah, and you can listen to that online, or you can just listen to our back shows. They're all up on AWOL's webpage, which is peaceculture.org.